You're listening to the Sermon Podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Do you know that turkeys like holly and ivy? I know it seems like a strange question, but if you think about it, just a few days ago, we were eating turkey. And if you look around, there are lots of places that seem to have holly and ivy already out. We are moving fast through those leftovers, and the hints of orange and brown are being taken down and put away. And that smell of leaves is slowly leaving. And here we are, the first Sunday of Advent, just 4 days after Thanksgiving. And we are beginning a journey toward Bethlehem. You will notice the Advent wreath. You'll notice the blue here. And you will notice that the words in our liturgy are taking us back further into the Episcopal tradition. And it reminds us of this journey that Joseph and Mary are heading toward Bethlehem. They're on this journey, and it is a long one. It's around 90 miles, which on foot would be 4 to 5 to 6 days. And I expect it would be a little bit longer, given there's a pregnant woman and a stubborn donkey as your partners on this journey. There's another long trip that's mentioned in our reading this morning. And it's the one that's woven into the three verses of Jeremiah. This book of 52 chapters of oracles that are woven together focus on Jeremiah's spiritual struggles with God. It's unlike any other book. He is a very important Hebrew prophet. And this book is thrown together. There's no lineage in the beginning to the end in this book. They're just kind of stories and oracles that are put together. And the one that we heard today was in the original Hebrew text. But it wasn't in the part that was translated into Greek. So that's a little bit of the history of this book. Now, Jeremiah, well, he is in jail. Earlier in chapter 33, the words are he was confined in the court. I guess that's a fancy way of saying he was a jailbird. So here he is in jail, and he was put in there by King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar was a horrible king. He governed Babylon, which is modern-day Iraq. And he had a policy of scorched earth. So wherever he went and took over, he scorched it, and he raided the people and destroyed their buildings. So when he comes all the way over from Babylon into Judea to Jerusalem, he finds a king, and he puts Jeremiah in jail. And he takes all the wealthier, more educated king and queen lineage kind of people and those families and turns them into captives. And the journey is over 500 miles. That's over a month's worth of walking, 4 to 5 miles a day. Now, these miles are not done with nice, comfy socks like we have nowadays, or running shoes or earbuds, just sore skin on rocks and thorns, wet with blood and tears, ripped clothing, and burned tinges of hair. We can watch the news now and see much of the same images in this land. From this place of denied dignity, of toppled towers and singed society, comes the words that we hear today. The days are surely coming. The days are surely coming. The emotional tone of this verse is palpable. Now, some of us could think, well, this sounds like a call to revenge. a summoning of karma, a tit-for-tat kind of relating. Yeah, old King Neb, you're going to get it just like Taylor Swift says in her song. Because karma is the thunder rattling your ground. Karma is your scent like a bounty hunter. Karma is going to track you down step by step, town to town. The days are surely coming. Imagine why Jeremiah said these words. Maybe because it was heavy on his heart and he needed a way to get it out. He needed to tell his story. He needed people to know. I think he was also giving us hope. Hope to the people to hang on. Hope on to the ground that when life is turned upside down, God is still there with you. And to keep your eyes on God. The days are surely coming. Now, how would you answer that question? Is it you hope you get through the holidays? Is it an assurance that this year will be better than last year? It can't be as bad as last year. Is that where your hope is for this year? Is it that you'll have a quiet time as you journey toward Bethlehem? Or maybe it's to be so close to baby Jesus that you can hear him breathe. There is more. Does it matter where we are when we ask the question or say the sentence, the days are surely coming? Yes, it does. If we are in good spiritual space, then we don't want revenge. And the words about karma and getting even don't even enter the conversation. We are more grateful and thoughtful with our words and actions when we are in good spiritual space. We take hope and we put ourselves into it. Fred Craddock, one of the best preachers and teachers of preaching that I ever had, tells a story about a family sitting in a waiting room at a big hospital. The mother of the one who had fed all the children and the grandchildren and who had held them and rocked them and taught them Jesus loves me is undergoing surgery. Her husband of over 60 years is there with many family members. And they're all there in the waiting room as this matriarch goes through surgery. That C word is covering them with a dark heaviness. And as often as it happens in hospital time, you might know that whatever your watch says is different than what happens in the hospital. Hospital time is different, and there's no explanation. So this family is pacing the hall. They've gathered their little collection of used coffee cups. Some are looking out of the window, and very little is being said. The doctor walks in and she gathers the family and she says to him, I think we got it all. I know it took a little longer, but we really did our best and got it all. The husband reaches over and shakes her hand and his voice is trembling and there are tears coming down his eyes. And as the doctor leaves, he turns to the family and he says, just like his wife would want him to say, well, now it's time to go eat. The hope had invited them to come into it, had breathed new life into them. The days are surely coming. How we answer this can often depend on the spiritual space that we are in. And I thought, you know, maybe I need to give y'all some hints on how to get in good spiritual space. And one of my favorites is that when I say the Lord's Prayer, I try to think about somebody else all the way across the world. Maybe somebody in a country that Christianity isn't allowed. And they are saying these words in their language. That I have a sister or brother in faith that invites me to stretch and move forward in a spiritual way that I could not imagine without that prayer. Another way to strengthen yourself spiritually is to come and take the bread of life and the cup of salvation. This isn't just bread and wine, folks. This is the bread of life and the cup of salvation, covered with words and prayers from years and years and years. And another thing is when we say the confession, letting go of what you have done and what you have left undone, and trusting that God's forgiveness is more powerful than your sin. Walter Brueggemann says that we are not just watching, we are participating in the recommitment to the living and the glory of God, tangible, hopeful, and beautiful in the presence of God. Hope gives us the ability to keep moving forward. Let's ask one more question. How does God respond to this question? The days are surely coming. How does God respond? The Lord says, I will fulfill the promise. Cause the righteous branch to spring forth from David. Justice and righteousness will rule the land. My people will live in safety, and your name will be the Lord is our righteousness. God's way of fulfilling our hope and filling our entire beings is much grander than we can imagine or plan. It would seem that God also needs hope and reminds us to keep our eyes on the Lord. People will say, oh, well, this is just part of God's plan. Like saying, well, God is giving me what I think I need or deserve. Hear this, my friends. God is not giving us, any of us, what we deserve or can think up for ourselves. God gives us an infant son in a manger. God gives us his son on a wooden cross. God gives us the ability to love beyond measure, grace overflowing, a feast at the heavenly banquet, a holy bath with living water, and righteousness, my friends, in every cell in your being. When God answers, the days are surely coming, it changes the world. The days are surely coming. I encourage you to ponder that over the next 4 weeks of Advent. And as we begin this journey together, please know that in the manger, God has answered this question. The days are surely coming, again and again and again. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon Podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.